Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, we continue reading from where we left off in our previous class. The author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, continuing the description of the manners and characteristics of the people of Al-Qur'an, yattabi'u wajibat Al-Qur'ani wa sunnah, that he follows the obligations of the Qur'an and the sunnah, because this is the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reality of al-sirat al-mustaqim is in complying to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal and the prohibitions and establishing them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is what a person of the Qur'an is seeking after. He's seeking after the pleasure of Allah and hoping to obtain the love of Allah and the help and the aid of Allah. And he knows with certainty that the path to do that is to follow the obligations that are found in the Qur'an and in the sunnah. He says, therefore, based upon this, what will he do? Because the guidance of the Qur'an and the Sunnah is inclusive, encompassing guidance in all aspects of life. And here's a brief detail with regards to that. يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامَ بِعِلْمُ وَيَشْرَبُ بِعِلْمُ وَيَلْبَسُ بِعِلْمُ وَيَنَامُ بِعِلْمُ وَيُجَامِعْ أَهْلَهُ بِعِلْمُ وَيَصْطَحِبُ الْإِخْوَانَ بِعِلْمُ وَيَزُورُهُمْ بِعِلْمُ وَيَسْتَأْذِنُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِعِلْمُ وَيَسْتَأْذِنُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِعِلْمُ وَيُجَاوِرُ جَارَهُ بِعِلْمُ. He follows the obligations of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. He eats with knowledge, drinks with knowledge, wears clothes with knowledge, sleeps with knowledge, interacts with his spouse with knowledge, keeps company with his brothers with knowledge, visits them with knowledge, seeks permission before entering upon them with knowledge, and he treats his neighbors with knowledge. He treats his neighbors with knowledge. And if we were to discuss each one of these affairs individually, then it would take a long time. Then it would require many gatherings. But now we just suffice with some of the benefits that have preceded in reminding. And as a reminder, now each one of these affairs here, in general, there are chapters found in the books of hadith and chapters in the books of fiqh that would clarify this knowledge in detail. We find in the books of fiqh, Kitab al-At'ima, or Kitab al-Ashriba. There's the book of foods, and he clarifying the foods that are lawful. And there are likewise the book of drinks, clarifying the drinks that are lawful. And likewise, there's the book Kitab al-Zina wal-Libas, Kitab al-Libas, and the likes like this. There's the book with regards to adornment and clothing. And he clarifying the sunnah and the prescribed laws with regards to all of these affairs. Likewise, there are chapters as well, Kitab al-Adab al-Ta'am wa-Shurb. We have studied some of these chapters, alhamdulillah, studied some of these books, alhamdulillah. So therefore, he's a person of knowledge. He seeks knowledge and he learns and implements that knowledge. And therefore, whenever he eats upon knowledge, not upon desires and whims or upon ignorance and the likes like this. And likewise, whenever he drinks. And likewise, whenever he wears his clothing with knowledge, following those commandments and prohibitions, abiding by them in application in his daily life in every aspect, until the fact that even whenever he sleeps with knowledge. There's clarification on how to sleep, sunan that have come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the manners and etiquettes of sleeping. And those who believe in these sunan and they apply them and they abide by them in their life, they have a great reward. A person with knowledge and proper intention, he can sleep at nighttime and rest and get great rest, and the whole time is obtaining a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his intention and because of his efforts and the manner that he sleeps. Likewise, he has intercourse with his family in the same manner, with knowledge, and he accompanies the brothers and his friends and companions. He does that based upon knowledge, not upon desires. Whenever he visits them with knowledge. Whenever he seeks permission to enter upon them, he does so with knowledge. Likewise, these are chapters, adab al-ziyara, chapter adab al-suhba. There's even books about these affairs. Sometimes there's a book that's written about this one topic, or you'll find these topics here in books of hadith under different chapter titles, with different chapter titles themselves or under different chapter titles. Bab al-isti'dhan. This is a chapter in the books of hadith, the chapter with regards to seeking permission upon entering one's home or upon the people. There's great clarification and details that have come in the sunnah with regards to this. Likewise, with regards to the rights of the neighbor. All of this has been clarified in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's been clarified, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the issues of al-istidhan, which is of utmost importance, and likewise meeting with the brothers, is the affairs of the salam. From the great manners and etiquettes, the legislative rights of al-Islam, is as-salam. As-salam, giving the salam, the greetings of peace. The greetings of peace. And saying to your brother whenever you meet him before anything else, as-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum. Or you say as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Or you say as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa barakatuh. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You don't say to him, what's up? How's it going? You don't say, hayyak Allah. Kayfa haluk? Like this. The first thing that you bring the salam. The first thing that you bring the salam. It's been reported authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it's been reported from the hadith of Ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من بدأ بالكلامي قبل السلام فلا تجيبوا. Who begins speaking before saying the salam, did not respond to him. They do not respond to him. So this is from the good ways of Al-Islam and the people of Al-Islam to give salam. Whenever you meet your brother, you give salam. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified, this is all in summarization, the first is not more rightful than the last, meaning that one who will give the salam, that one who will give the salam whenever he meets his brother, and likewise whenever he leaves, and likewise whenever he leaves. So this is something that we should honor and respect. And whenever the first thing we do whenever we meet, whenever we see each other, we give salam. And whenever we leave, likewise, we give salam. If on top of that, likewise, we make dua for each other, alhamdulillah, barakallah fi, jazakallahu khaira, hayakallah. But we don't suffice with that. We don't suffice with that. Rather, we begin with the salam. We begin with the salam, and then after that, we make dua. And even the salam is a type of supplication and dua. And it's an announcement. I'm coming to you in peace. I'm not going to harm you at all. You're safe from my harm. Assalamu alaikum. This is why sometimes it's a problem whenever brothers have falling out and they have that rancor in their heart and they'll give each other salam, but in reality they're not safe from each other. They're not safe from each other. They have enmity in their hearts, right? Rancor in their hearts. This is contrary to the salam that they're making. Assalamu alaikum. And then after that, he has enmity in his heart. He has rancor in his heart. He has a problem with the brother, or he will lie about him or cheat on him. At the same time, he's saying assalamu alaikum. At the same time, he's saying assalamu alaikum. So this is contrary. So assalam, it means peace. It means safety. It means security. So this is an announcement of that. And you're hoping that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may the peace of Allah be upon you. May Allah protect you. May Allah grant you safety and security in yourself and your wealth and your life, in your family, in your finances, and all of your affairs, and your religious affairs and worldly affairs. It's a great greeting. A great, great greeting. And it should be honored. And it's stated like that, assalamu alaykum. Some people, they just say it fast and they eat letters. Salam alaykum, like this, salam alaykum, whatever the case may be. No, there's a proper way to say it. Assalamu alaykum. Or you can say it without the alif and lam, salamun alaykum. All of this is good. But you say the letters, all of them. You say the letters, all of them. It's a legislated dhikr. A legislated dhikr. Any greetings, tahiyyah. The tahiyyah of the people of al-Islam. The tahiyyah of the people of al-Islam. He moves on, rahimahullah. He says, يُلْزِمُ نَفْسُهُ بِرَّ وَلِدَيْهِ فَيَخْفِضُ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَهُ وَيَخْفِضُ لِسَوْتِهِمَا سَوْتَهُ وَيَخْفِضُ لِسَوْتِهِمَا سَوْتَهُ وَيَبْذُرُ لَهُمَا مَالَهُ وَيَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمَا بِعَيْنِ الْوَقَارِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ يَدْعُو لَهُمَا بِالْبَقَاءِ وَيَشْكُرُ لَهُمَا عِنْدَ الْكِبْرِ لَا يَضْجَرُ بِهِمَا وَلَا يَحْكِرُهُمَا. He obligates himself to righteousness towards his parents. He holds fast to that. He lowers his wing of humility to them. He lowers his voice before theirs. He spends his wealth on them. He looks at them with respect and mercy. He prays for their long life and expresses gratitude to them in their old age. He does not grow impatient with them nor belittle them. Again, if we were to stop and discuss the evidence as clarifying all of these affairs, then the class it would lengthen. We want to try to cover as much material as we can. I would encourage the noble students to review, especially those who have memorized the Quran. You can find verses. There are verses clarifying directly what he's mentioning, rahimahullahu ta'ala. In Surah Al-Isra. And likewise in Surah Luqman. And also in Surah Al-Ahqaf. Specifically in these three chapters, you will find the evidence is clarifying that which he's mentioning, along with other chapters as well, clarifying the great rights of the parents and making dua for them and supplicating for them. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Many, many evidences. The point that we want to take from this here, after realizing this great obligation that Allah has ordered, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ والديني بالوالديني إحسانا, the obligation of being kind and righteous and humble towards the parents. He says, رحمه الله, إن استعان به على طاعة أعانهما وإن استعان به على معصية لم يعنهما عليها ورفق بهما في معصيته إياهما يحسن الأدب ليرجع عن قبيح ما أراد مما لا يحسن بهما فعله. If they seek his help in obedience to Allah, he assists them. If his parents seek his help in obedience to Allah, he assists them. If they ask him to aid them in sin, he does not comply. If he asks them to aid him in actions of disobedience, he does not comply. But instead, he advises them gently so they may abandon their wrongdoing. So it's incumbent to obey the parents and to honor their and to honor them, and to be kind and to be nice to them, and to have good speech with them. But there's a fundamental principle, and it's been clarified in the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الله. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الله. There's no obedience to a person, to anyone from the creation, in their disobedience of Allah. So to obey the parents, no doubt this is an obligation, but that's only in that which is lawful and permissible and the obedience of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الطَّاعَةُ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ. Obedience, and to those who have authority over us and to those who admonish us or advise us, is only in that which is good and considered good in the legislation of Allah azza wa jal. As for other than that, then there's no obedience. This is the point here. But even whenever there is a situation where someone is ordering disobedience, someone who has authority, for example, he's ordering disobedience, he's commanding the evil, وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ, commanding the evil, وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ, understand that. He's not doing it himself, he's asking somebody to do it for him, like what he's saying here, ordering them to do, asking them to do evil, or to do sin, or to do something that's an action of disobedience. This is his parents, in this case that we're discussing. Then he's saying here that he will not obey them in that. And he will not assist them in that. But at the same time, he will refuse to obey them, meaning he will disobey them with honor and dignity and with kind words, with hopes that they will be shy and they'll realize the error that they're in and that they're wrong for seeking him to help them in sin, and that they themselves will repent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, وَإِن جَاهَدَكَ على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطيعهما. وإن جاهداك, and if your parents, both of them, strive against you, وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم, if your parents, both of them, strive against you to encourage you to make shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal, which of course you have no knowledge of, فلا تطيعهما. Allah, he says, then do not obey them. If there are parents, a mother and a father, and they're striving against their child to encourage him and to entice him and to call him to fall into paganism and polytheism. It's not allowed to obey them in that. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, do not obey them. But what did he say after that? Subhanah. وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, but you accompany them in this life in a good manner. So even if they're commanding you to make shirk, the worst of all sin, he will not obey them. But even then, how does he not obey them? How would he disobey them? وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, but you accompany them in this life in a good and noble manner. So therefore, he will refuse to obey them in the likes of these affairs. If they order him to make shirk, or anything less than that, for example, to purchase alcohol, or to purchase swine, or anything else that is forbidden, he will have kindness and courtesy, and at the same time, he'll have courage. And he'll put his faith on Allah, upon Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he'll tell them, Afwan, I'm not able to do that. So, Barakallah Fiqh. If this is a Muslim, you say, may Allah bless you. You know, this is not allowed. I'm not allowed to do that. If it's a non-Muslim, likewise. In my religion, I'm not allowed to drink alcohol, or to purchase alcohol for others to drink it. I'm not even allowed to carry it, nor am I allowed to even sit at a table where it's being served. Drinking alcohol is a grave sin, and many ills and problems come from that. We can look around in our society. So I would say, I love you, mother, but I'm not able to do this. This is contrary to my religion. This is an example of that. So this is how it will be done. In some circumstances, he would have to disobey his parents, maybe. But when he does that with honor and dignity. He does not do that with harshness or rudeness. And this is from the guidance of the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is from the guidance of the Quran and the Sunnah. So he says, Rahimahullah, يَسِلُ الرَّحِمْ وَيَكْرَهُ الْقَطِيعَةِ يَسِلُ الرَّحِمْ وَيَكْرَهُ الْقَطِيعَةِ مَنْ قَطَعُهُ لَمْ يَقْطَعُهُ مَنْ أَصَى اللَّهَ فِيهِ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ فِيهِ. He maintains the ties of kinship and dislikes severing them. He does not cut off the ties of kinship for no reason, especially. If someone cuts him off, he does not return the severance with severance. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysal wasil bil mukafi', laysal wasil bil mukafi'." The one who is keeping the ties of relatives, he's not the one who does that when they do that. Some people they say, "Well, he calls me, I call him. He visits me, I visit him. He doesn't visit me, I don't visit him." That's not the case. No, that's not the wasil. That's not the one who's keeping the ties of kinship. He's the one who reaches out whenever they don't reach out. If they reach out, alhamdulillah, that's good. He reaches out likewise. But even if they do not reach out, he reaches out. So in this manner, he does that for the sake of Allah, to keep the ties of kinship. And there's many different ways that could be established in the minimum manner. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned today, for example, you can even simply send a message. How are you doing? How is everything? Checking up on you. If they're non-Muslims, for example. Send them, assalamu alaikum, barakallahu fi, Eid Mubarak, for example, on Eid. Or the likes like this. Alhamdulillah, barakallahu alaykum, blessed, make dua for them in Ramadan. Like this, just keep ties, send them the message. Send them a text, or call them on the phone, or go to their home. Whatever is suitable, alhamdulillah. But a believer, he will strive to keep the ties of relatives. And this is from the ways of al-Islam, the people of the Quran. He says, rahimahullah, the one who cuts him off, he does not cut him off. Right? Because, again, from the fundamental principles of the manners of the people of the Quran is that they're not dealing with the people, they're dealing with Allah. They're not dealing with the people, or they're dealing with Allah. You understand that part? The dealing is with Allah. They do their dealings with the people in the manner that's pleasing to Allah. So this is what checks them, this is what moves them, and this is what carries them. Their hope for the reward of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the fact that they remember that they're a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this life is a test and they're tried. And some people, they themselves are trials. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ for others. Some people, they themselves are trials for others. Some people are tried with sin. They're tried with bad manners. They're tried with lowly ways. And then they themselves become a trial for others. So a person, he will not be tried by the tried. A person of the Quran, he will not be tried by those who are afflicted with calamities from bad manners or bad conduct or from sin or from misguidance and deviation. Rather, he will handle the situations, all of them, accordingly. So Allah does not love those who cut ties of relatives. So if somebody cuts him, he will not cut them likewise, because he's dealing with them back and forth. But rather, he will do his best to keep those ties and not cut them, because he's not dealing with that person, he's dealing with the Lord of that person, with the creator of that person. He's dealing with Allah Azza wa Jal. And the next point here is a great summary of that. He says, rahimahullah, man asa Allah fihi, ata'a Allah fihi. Whoever disobeys Allah in his right, he obeys Allah concerning him. You understand that? So if someone disobeys Allah in your right, you don't disobey Allah in his right. Right? If he transgresses your rights, and thus doing so has disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal, you do not let that cause you to likewise disobey Allah Azza wa Jal in dealing with him. Rather, when you deal with him, you obey Allah Azza wa Jal. He disobeys Allah and you're right, you obey Allah and you're right. So we've seen previously that from the high levels of the people of the Quran is that they prefer and they follow the best of that which is revealed. So we know in the likes of rights that it's permissible for a person to get his right back. فَإِنْ أُعْقِبْتُمْ فَأَعْقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا أُعْقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. If you recompense people, if somebody harmed you, you can get them back. And if somebody takes your right, you can get it back. Right? And that's allowed. But what is not allowed is oppression going beyond the limits, to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that affair. But what is recommended is to be patient and to pardon and forgive. And no doubt there are great details in these affairs, and that's not an absolute ruling, but this is from the good way. So in general, in any case, a person, whenever he's dealing with the people, if they act out of line and they disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, in their manners and their conduct and their dealings with you, you do not do the same with them. You do not do the same with them. The person of the Quran, he will not do the same with them. It's been narrated from Umar radiallahu anhu. He says, مَا عَقَبْتَ مَنْ أَصَاءَ اللَّهَ فِيكَ بِمِثْلِ أَنْ تُطِيعَ اللَّهَ فِيهِ. That you have never punished anyone. You have never reprimanded anyone who has disobeyed Allah and your right with the likes of obeying Allah and His right. And many times, what do they say? Misery loves company. Misery loves company. Some people, they're miserable and they bring their misery and they try to cause problems and they raise their voice and they have bad manners or bad dealings and they just want to rile you up and get you to be miserable with them and to get you to be miserable with them and the likes like this. And also, the same way, people upon a foul way, they don't like to be alone in their foulness. They like to have company. So that it's not said, oh, he's the only one, he's foul. No, he said, no, look, so-and-so, he's foul like me. So-and-so, he's foul like me. So if a person, he's involved in sin, he likes to have a company with him so he's not lonesome or he's not the only one to blame. Rather, there's others also committing that along with him. So same thing with the bad and lowly manners. So if somebody does something wrong or is disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, he's hoping that somebody else will do that along with him. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. And many times, yani, this is the case. A person, he'll be tried and he will fall into that. But the people of the Qur'an, they have knowledge. The people of the Qur'an, they have iman. The people of the Qur'an, they have high hopes in the mercy of Allah and they have great fear and reverence for Allah and His commandments. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they do not let the people move them. They do not let the people move them. And they do not let their souls rile up and overcome them. Rather, they check their souls. And they check their souls with the reins of the legislation. So many times a person, if someone acts rude to him and he is kind to them in return, many times that person, he will feel shy. He'll feel shy. He'll realize that he's wrong. Somebody comes in a harsh way, in a rude way, and you respond with courtesy, you respond with kindness, you respond in a corrective manner without being reckless like him, then many times that person, it will hit him like that, like a brick, and he'll stop. He'll stop and he'll realize, wait a second. But if he comes at you and then you come at him, then it's just going to keep going. And it's just going to keep going. And this is also something that we can benefit from in our homes as well. Sometimes whenever the family, they come like this, if you come like that, it's going to blow up and become a great problem. But if she comes like this, yani a little bit in a manner you don't like, and you calm it down and you stay collective, inshallah, it will settle down and it will go away and it will not be a problem. But if one spouse raises the voice, the other one raises the voice, and then they're raising back and forth, now the house is in shambles and the heart is having problems and nobody's getting along and the house is not a place of peace and security, it's a place of problems and dispute. But a man, he'll have to learn these affairs. Likewise a woman, that the people of the Quran, they handle the situations and the problems in life in the most noble and dignified manner. In the most noble and dignified manner, that is because they have knowledge and they have iman. They have knowledge and they have iman. They believe in the Jannah and they believe in the Nar. And they believe that their actions and statements, they will be weighed and they will meet Allah Azza wa Jal. اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. So this is what they work for. This is what they work for. This is what they're concerned with. So he says, if someone disobeys Allah concerning him, what does he do? He obeys Allah concerning them. He obeys Allah concerning them. He obeys Allah concerning them. He says, يسحب المؤمنين بعلم ويجالسهم بعلم من صاحبه نفعه حسن المجالسة لمن جالسه. He befriends believers with knowledge. He befriends believers with knowledge and interacts with them with wisdom. And interacts with them with wisdom. Whoever accompanies him benefits from his good companionship, and whoever sits with him finds his company beneficial. So he takes on companions with knowledge. He has knowledge whenever he's seeking companions. And it's not allowed for a believer just to accompany anyone, to take anyone as a friend. Whether we're required to be in the company of the righteous, and to select and choose our friends and our companions diligently so that we are safe on our religion and benefit and our worldly life likewise. So this is all from the ways of the people of Quran, that they befriend believers with knowledge, interact with them with wisdom and understanding in their religion. Whoever accompanies him benefits from his good companionship. And whoever sits with him finds his company beneficial. إِنْ عَلَّمَ غَيْرَهُ رَفَقَ بِهِ لَا يُعَنِّفُ مَنْ أَخْطَأَ وَلَا يُخْجِرُهُ رفيق في أموره صبور على تعليم الخير. If he teaches others, he does so gently. He does not rebuke those who make mistakes nor embarrass them. He is kind in his dealings and patient in teaching goodness. And patient in teaching goodness. He is kind in his dealings and patient in teaching goodness. It's been narrated from Aisha authentically that she said رضي الله عنها that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم one time he made dua. He said, Allahumma man wariya min amri ummati shay'an farafaqa bihi farfuq bihi. Farfuq bihi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Allah, whoever takes charge or has authority or guardianship over any affairs in my ummah and he's gentle with them, then be gentle with him. وَمَنْ وَلِيَ مِنْ أَمْرِ أُمَّتِي شَيْئًا فَشَقَّ عَلَيْهِمْ اللَّهُمَّ فَشْكُكْ عَلَيْهِ فَشَقَّ عَلَيْهِمْ فَشْكُكْ عَلَيْهِ. And whoever takes charge or has any authority over or guardianship over anyone from the affairs or over anything from the affairs of my ummah, and then he is hard on them, he makes it difficult for them, then make it difficult for him. Then make it difficult for him. From that, a father in his home, and likewise a wife. And also, and from that, what he's referring to here is a teacher. A teacher, he has a wilayah. He's a type of wilayah. He has a type of authority and guardianship. He has a type of leadership and the likes like this. This should be done with gentleness, not making it hard, not making it difficult. Some people, they make things difficult unnecessarily. This is because of the lowly manners that they have, and that their heart and their chest is tight, and they get tight and problematic. But the person of the Quran, he's a person of knowledge. And whenever a person has knowledge, the knowledge in his heart is like light and it causes his chest to grow. He has a big heart. He's able to deal with a lot of problems in the best manner. Whenever there's little knowledge or the light is dim, a person, his chest becomes tight and the smallest thing will bother him and irritate him and he will act out. And the smallest thing will bother him and irritate him and act out. But knowledge, what does it do? It makes your chest wide, gives you a big heart. Gives you a big soul. You're able to pardon, overlook a lot of mistakes and to correct errors in a good manner. And the likes like this. And carry a lot of burden and handle hardships and challenges in life in a good manner. That's whenever a person has a big chest, a big heart, a strong soul, great faith and reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jalla and hope for the reward in the home and the hereafter. As for whenever the heart is tight, whenever the chest is tight and the heart is weak, a person, he's stingy, or he's a coward in the likes like this, afraid to lose a portion of this life, and he shows preference to the worldly life, and he's bothered and irritated by the smallest of things, and the likes like this, this is contrary. This will lead a person to making things hard for the people. And this is not the way of a believer. The believer is hayyin layyin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a narration that the one who إن الله حرم على النار. I forget the narration. كل هين لين. The meaning of the narration that indeed Allah, He forbade from the fire. Or shall I not inform you of everyone whom Allah has forbidden from the fire? Every kind and gentle and easygoing person. كل هين لين سهل بالناس or similar like that. Similar like that. The meaning. So the people who are easy to deal with, the people who are kind-hearted, the people who are forbearing, the people who are forgiving, the people who have good intentions for others, the people who want good for the people in general. These are the ones that that Allah guides. حُرِبَ عَلَى النَّارِ كُلُّ لَيِّنٍ هَيِّنٍ سَهْلٍ قَرِيبٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ قَرِيبٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. This person, he's forbidden from the fire. He's prohibited from the fire. The one who is kind, the one who is gentle, the one who is nice, the one who is close to the people. These are the people of the Quran. So if he teaches others or educates them, whether he's directing them and guiding them, or whether he's admonishing them and advising them, he does that with gentleness, with rifq. The issue of a rifq is a great affair. Also, there's chapters. The chapters in the books of hadith. Babu al-rifq. Babu al-rifq, you'll find that. This is from the noble manners of a believer, that he's gentle. And from the means of this gentleness and from the means of this courtesy is to not be hasty. It's to not be hasty, to not be reckless. Somebody who's reckless and hasty, he doesn't have rifq. He doesn't have rifq. Somebody who speaks before he thinks, he doesn't have rifq. Somebody who acts before he thinks and analyzes the situation, he doesn't have rifq. A rifq is contrary to that. We all know the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha. Whenever the Jews, they came and they gave the so-called salam, what did they say? They ate the letter. This is what I was referring to before, huh? Assalamu alaikum. What does that mean? Huh? May death be upon you. But look how it's happening. They're coming in the guise of well-wishers, right? Like their friends and companions. And they're trying to pretend that they're coming in peace, and really they're coming contrary to that. They're trying to make it sound like they're saying, may peace be upon you. Like, but they're saying, we hope you die. We wish you'd be dead. We wish you did. Assalamu alaikum. So the Prophet ﷺ heard that. Aisha radiallahu anha, she heard that. What did she say? Alaykum wa alaykum assalamu wa la'na. And may the curse of Allah be upon you and death. And the Prophet ﷺ, she's doing that out of defense, out of ghayra. Great ghayra and love and reverence and honor for the Prophet ﷺ in defending him. Defending him in the face of those treacherous Jews. Waliyadu billah. Defending his honor. But the Prophet ﷺ said, mahran, mahran, ya Aish. Mahran, mahran, ya Aish. Ya Aish. And this is a beautiful way of addressing the, ya Aish. He did say, ya Aisha. Mahran, take it down. Take it easy, Aisha. Take it easy. She said, did you not hear what they said? The Prophet, whenever he responded, he said to them, wa alaykum. They said, assalamu alaykum, ya Muhammad. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa alaykum. Wa alaykum. And to you too. And to you too. But she increased, she added, and the death and the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught her a beautiful lesson. She said, mahla, mahla, ya Aish, inna allaha rafiqun yuhibbu rifqa fil amri kullihi. Indeed, Allah is gentle, he's rafiq, and he loves gentleness in all affairs. And he loves gentleness in all affairs. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, inna rifqa la yakunu fi shay'in illa zana. وَلَا يُنْزَعُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَ. That rifq, gentleness, kindness, not being hasty in affairs, is never used in any situation except it will beautify it and make it better. And it's not removed from anything except for it will disfigure it and make it worse. Make it worse. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْطِي عَلَى رِفْقِ مَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى الْعُنْفِ وَمَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى غَيْرِهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He provides and gives by way of gentleness and courtesy, and not being hasty or harsh or rude, and that which He does not give from violence and harshness. And some people, they want to get their point across, or some people, they want to do things, and they think the only way that they can get that done is by being harsh, by being rude, by being overly strong, by going overboard, raising the voice. And they want to get something done in their household, for example. They want to get something done. And in their mind, the only way it's going to do it is if they put their foot down and they make them do it. And they force them to do it. It's going to happen. So they put force on it. And they do it in a harsh way. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, indeed Allah, He gives by way of rifq that which He does not give by way of force. And that which He does not give by way of other than that. So if a person, he would just take it easy, he will calm down and think about what he wants to do and the best way to do it, what he wants to say and the best way to say it before saying that and doing that, and then proceeding from there while seeking to please Allah Azza wa Jal. Many times the problems in the home, for example, they'll be fixed, and likewise between the brothers, so on and so forth. But whenever a person, he wants to use force and harshness, especially whenever that's not the proper time and the proper place, then it leads to problems. So the ways of the people of the Quran is that they're gentle. That they're gentle, that they're courteous, that they're not hasty, that they're not harsh, they're not sharp. They're not sharp in their tongue, in their speech, in their dealings, and the likes like this. Rather, they're calm, they're collective, they're humble. They think before they move and before they speak. He says here, Rafiqun fi umurihi. He's Rafiq. He's kind and he's courteous. He's not hasty. He's not hasty. This is also from the meanings of rifq. To not be hasty. To not be hasty. To not move before thinking. To not act before thinking, to not do something before analyzing the situation, especially whenever there are critical issues at hand or things that could lead to greater problems in one's life that are unnecessary. If a person, he would just be gentle in this manner. If a person, he would just be gentle in this manner. And in Adab al-Mufrad by al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he has a chapter, Bab al-Rifq. Many of these narrations are mentioned there. Many of these narrations are mentioned there. Under that same chapter, he mentioned another narration, rahimahullah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, aqilu dhawi hayat, aqilu dhawi hayat atharatihim. Aqilu dhawi hayat atharatihim. That you have to pardon and overlook the slips of the noble, the slips of the virtuous, the slips of the people of virtue, the people of position in society, the people of knowledge, the people of governmental authority, their slips or their mistakes. These from rifq is to not be hasty in that, and to cover that, and to deal with that in a good manner, or to overlook that, or to pardon that, and the like like that, and to not publicize that. This is from gentleness. People who publicize the faults of others, especially the, for example, the imam or the teachers or the mashayikh or the scholars or the students of knowledge or the rulers or the government officials, these people who have position in the society, in the Muslim society, they have status, they have rank, and the like like this. These mistakes or errors that they fall into should not be publicized. Should not be spread all over the public. Should not be made known in the likes like this. And it should be covered. And it should be addressed in a good way. And this is all from Rifq. And Allah, He is Rafiq and He loves Rifq. So again, we see the issue of the fact that the command or the ruling or the direction and guidance is coupled with the love of Allah. So then a person, Allah, He loves Rifq. Right? So now a person, he will start to have rifq. Why? Hoping for the love of Allah. Just as we've seen, Allah, He loves the one who's moderate in his walk. Allah, He doesn't love those who walk arrogantly. So then we don't walk arrogantly because Allah, He doesn't love that. Because Allah, He doesn't love that. So whatever we learn from these affairs, any that is beloved to Allah, this is what we do. This is from the attributes and the characteristics of the people of the Qur'an, that they seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. يأنس به المتعلم ويفرح به المجالس مجالسته تفيد خيرا مؤدب لمن جالسه بأدب القرآن مؤدب لمن جالسه بأدب القرآن والسنة إن أصيب بمصيبة فالقرآن والسنة مؤدبان. The student finds comfort in his presence. The student finds comfort in his presence. His companions enjoy his company. Sitting with him brings benefit, as he instills the etiquettes of the Qur'an and the Sunnah in those around him. If he faces hardship, he turns to the Qur'an and the Sunnah for guidance and discipline. يَحْزَنُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيَبْكِي بِعِلْمٍ وَيَسْبِرُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيَتَطَهَّرُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيُصَلِّ بِعِلْمٍ وَيُزَكِّي بِعِلْمٍ وَيَتَصَدَّقُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيَسُومُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيُحُجُّ بِعِلْمٍ وَيُجَاهِدُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيَكْتَسِبُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيُنْفِقُ بِعِلْمٍ وَيَنْبَسِطُ فِي الْأُمُورِ بِعِلْمٍ وَيَنْقَابِضُ عَنْهَا بِعِلْمٍ قَدْ أَدَّبَهُ الْقُرْآنُ وَالسُّنَّةِ. I want to be this person. He grieves with knowledge, weeps with knowledge. He is patient with knowledge. He purifies himself with knowledge, making wudu and ghusl with knowledge. He prays with knowledge. وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. He gives zakat with knowledge. He donates in charity with knowledge. Fasts with knowledge. Perform hajj with knowledge. وَخُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Struggles in the path of Allah with knowledge. He earns a livelihood. He gets money with knowledge. Spends with knowledge. Engages in social matters with knowledge and withdraws from them with knowledge. The Qur'an and the Sunnah have refined his character. The Qur'an and the Sunnah have refined his character. يتصفح القرآن ليؤدب به نفسه لا يرضى من نفسه أن يؤدي ما فرض الله بجهل قد جعل العلم والفقه دليله إلى كل خير. He turns the pages of the Qur'an to discipline himself, refusing to fulfill what Allah has obligated upon him in ignorance. This is a great advice. He refused to worship Allah upon ignorance. He refused to perform the obligations of Al-Islam upon ignorance or upon customs or upon whims or upon desires. He will not get involved. I'm not going to pray except if I learn how to pray. I'm not going to fast except I learn how to fast. I'm not going to give charity except I learn how to give charity. I'm not going to make hajj upon ignorance. I'm not going to spend my money and go all the way to Mecca on an airplane over the seas, overseas, and then get there. I don't even know what to say or what to do. Just follow the people. If you follow the people, maybe you're going to be following the Rafidah or the Billah. Or you're going to be following the Sufia. They're going to be chanting, Allahumma, Allah. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And other ones, wallahi, they're calling on the dead, some of them. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَا حُسَيْنِ. You're going to just follow the people. Then maybe you're going to follow them into shirk, or follow them into innovation, or follow them into performing deeds that will be rejected and not accepted. So we have to refuse to worship Allah upon ignorance. Many people, many Muslims, they're happy with where they're at. They do not know the fundamental details of the religion, of the proper creed and the meaning of the shahada and la ilaha illallah,
وأن محمد رسول الله. The fundamental details of the tahara and the salah and the daily actions of worship that they perform, they just do them just going with the motions, and they don't truly know, and they're pleased and they're happy with that. They're ignorant of the religion and they don't care. They're ignorant of the religion and they don't care. This is a musibah. This is a great musibah. To be ignorant of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, to have little knowledge and fickle understanding in the religion, this is one thing. But worse than that, to be in that state and not care about it. He's happy with where he's at. The dunya has preoccupied him. Just let me get a dollar. He says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that he turns the pages of the Quran to discipline himself, refusing to fulfill what Allah has obligated upon him in ignorance. He has made knowledge and understanding his guide to all that is good. To all that is good. The knowledge and the understanding that Allah provides for a true believer from the guidance of the Quran and the Sunnah leads to nothing but goodness. Al-Islam is all good. Al-Islam is all good. He says, إِذَا دَرَسَ الْقُرْآنَ فَبِحُضُورِ فَهْمٍ وَعَقْلٍ هِمَّتُهُ إِقَاءُ الْفَهْمِ لِمَا أَلْزَمَهُ اللَّهِ من اتباع ما أمر والانتهاء عما نهى ليس همته متى أختم السورة همته. He says, when he studies the Quran, he does so with awareness and comprehension, heart that is alive, hoping to understand. Listen, he says, his ambition while he studies the Quran is to understand what Allah has commanded him, and to follow what he has instructed him to do, and to avoid what he has forbidden. Understand that? This is the aim, to read the Quran, to hopes to know what Allah has ordered, so you can do it, hoping for the pleasure of Allah and His love, and to draw near to Him. And to read the Quran, hoping to know what Allah has forbidden, so you can stay away from it. Out of fear, you may earn the anger of Allah and His wrath. He says, his concern is not merely, when will he complete the surah? When will the chapter come to an end? This is not the way he approaches the Quran. He approaches the Quran with sincere faith and belief that it's guidance from the Lord of the worlds, and he hopes to benefit from that guidance. He's not thinking about, oh, when am I going to get to the end of the chapter? When am I going to finish the recitation? When am I going to read the last verse? He says, but rather, this is what he thinks about whenever he studies the Book of Allah. مَتَا أَسْتَغْنِ بِاللَّهِ عَنْ غَيْرِهِ مَتَا أَكُونُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ مَتَا أَكُونُ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ متى أكون من المتوكلين؟ متى أكون من الخاشعين؟ متى أكون من الصابرين؟ متى أكون من الصادقين؟ متى أكون من الخائفين؟ When will I be self-sufficient with Allah alone? When will I be among the righteous? When will I be among the virtuous? When will I be among those who trust in Allah truly? When will I be among those who are humble? When will I be among the patient? When will I be among the truthful? When will I be among those who truly fear Allah? متى أكون من الراجين؟ متى أزهد في الدنيا؟ متى أرغب في الآخرة؟ متى أتوب من الذنوب؟ متى أعرف النعم المتواترة؟ متى أشكر عليها؟ متى أعقل عن الله الخطاب؟ متى أفقه ما أتلو؟ متى أغلب نفسي على هواها؟ ومتى أجاهد في الله حق الجهاد؟ متى أحفظ لساني؟ متى أغض طرفي؟ متى أحفظ فرجي؟ متى أستحي من الله حق الحياء؟ He said, when will I be, this is what he's thinking whenever he studies the Book of Allah, when will I be among those who hope in Allah? When will I renounce the worldly life? When will I desire the hereafter? When will I repent from my sins? When will I recognize Allah's countless blessings? When will I truly thank Him for them? When will I comprehend Allah's message to me? When will I understand what I'm reciting? When will I truly understand what I recite? When will I truly understand what I'm reciting? When will I overcome my desires? When will I strive in the way of Allah as He deserves? When will I guard my tongue? When will I lower my gaze? When will I protect my chastity? When will I truly have modesty and shyness from Allah Azza wa Jal? Mata ashtaghilu bi aybi, mata uslihu ma fasada min amri, mata ujarisu, mata uhasibu nafsi, mata atazawwadu li yawmi ma'adi, mata akunu an Allahi radiyan, mata akunu billahi wathiqan, mata akunu bi zajri al-Quran muta'idhan. متى أكون بذكره عن ذكر غيره مشتغلا. When will I focus on my own faults instead of others? When will I fix what has been corrupted within me? When will I hold myself accountable? When will I prepare for the day of my return? When will I be content with Allah? When will I trust in Him completely? When will I take heed of the Quran's warnings? When will I be occupied with His remembrance instead of the remembrance of others? متى أحب ما أحب متى أبغض ما أبغض متى أنصح لله؟ متى أخلص له عملي؟ متى أقصر أملي؟ متى أتأهب ليوم موتي وقد غيب عني أجلي؟ متى أعمر قبري؟ متى أفكر في الموقف وشدته؟ متى أفكر في خلوتي مع ربي؟ متى أفكر في المنقلب؟ When will I love what he loves? يعني الله. When will I love what Allah loves? When will I hate what he hates? When will I sincerely advise for Allah's sake? When will I purify my deeds for his sake? When will I shorten my hopes in this world? When will I prepare for my death while my time remains hidden from me? When will I build provisions for my grave? When will I reflect on the severity of the day of judgment? When will I think about my ultimate return to my Lord? متى أحذر مما حذرني منه ربي من نار حرها شديد وقعرها بعيد وعمقها طويل لا يموت أهلها فيستريحوا ولا تقال عثرتهم ولا ترحم عبرتهم طعامهم الزقوم وشرابهم الحميم. When will I fear what my Lord has warned me about? The fire whose heat is intense, its depth vast and its torment severe. Its inhabitants neither die to find relief, nor are their errors forgiven, nor are their tears shown mercy. When will I fear what my Lord has warned me about? The fire whose heat is intense, its depth is vast and its torment is severe. Its inhabitants neither die in the fire to find relief, nor are their mistakes forgiven, nor are their tears shown any mercy. Their food is zakum and their drink is boiling water. As Allah has said, كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُوا عَلَذَابُ. Whenever their skins are burned completely, we will replace them with new skins so that they may taste the punishment. نَدِمُوا حَيْثُ لَا يَنْفَعُهُمُ النَّدَمُ وَعَضُّوا عَلَى الْأَيْدِي أَسَفًا عَلَى تَقْسِيرِهِمْ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَرُكُوبِهِمْ لِمَعَاصِي اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. فَقَالَ مِنْهُمْ قَائِلٌ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. They will regret when regret is of no use. They will regret when regret is of no use, biting their hands in sorrow for neglecting Allah's obedience and indulging in His disobedience. One of them will say, oh, how I wish I had sent ahead good deeds for my true life. وَقَالَ قَائِلٌ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتَ. Another, he will say, my Lord, send me back so that I may do righteous deeds in what I have left behind. وَقَالَ قَائِلٌ يَا وَيْلَتَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. Another, he will exclaim, oh, woe to us! What is this record that leaves nothing small or great except that it has enumerated it? وَقَالَ قَائِلٌ. And another, he will say, يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا قَلِيلًا. Oh, woe to me! I wish I had not taken so-and-so as a close friend. وَقَالَتْ فِرْقَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَوُجُوهُهُمْ تَتَقَلَّبُ فِي أَنْوَاعِ الْعَذَابِ فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا أَطَعْنَا اللَّهَ وَأَطَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ. Some of them, their faces turning in different types of torment and punishment. They will cry, oh, how we wish that we had obeyed Allah and His Messenger. We wish that we had obeyed Allah and obeyed the Messenger. فَهَذِهِ النَّارِ يَا مَعْشَرَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يَا حَمَلَةَ الْقُرْآنِ حَذَّرَهَا اللَّهُ مُؤْمِنِينَ فِي غَيْرِ مَوْضِعٍ مِنْ كِتَابِهِ. O Muslims, O carriers of the Quran, Allah has warned the believers about this hellfire in multiple places in His book. فَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stones, over which are appointed angels, stern and severe. And they do not disobey Allah whatsoever in executing the commands they receive from Allah, but they do that which they are commanded. وَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. And Allah, He said, and fear the fire which has been prepared for the disbelievers. وَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And He said, Subhanah, O you who believe, fear Allah and keep your duty to Him. Be obedient to Allah in public and in private, and let every person look to what He has sent forth for tomorrow. And let him look to what he has sent forth for tomorrow. He's going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fear Allah. Verily, Allah is all aware of what you do. ثُمَّ حَذَّرَ مُؤْمِنِينَ أَنْ يَغْفُلُوا عَمَّا فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَا عَهِدَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَلَّا يُضَيِّئُوهُ وَأَنْ يَحْفَظُوا مَا اسْتَرْعَاهُمْ مِنْ حُدُودِهِ لا يكونوا كغيره ممن فسق عن أمره فعذبهم بأنواع العذاب. فقال عز وجل ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. And Allah warned the believers against neglecting what He has obligated upon them in trust and the trust He has given them. And Allah warned the believers from neglecting what he has obligated upon them and the trust that he has given them. He commands them not to be like those who ignored his command and were consequently punished, saying, and do not be like those who forgot Allah and we made them to forget themselves. Those are the defiantly disobedient. Do not be like those who forgot Allah. They forgot Allah, meaning they forgot the commandments and the prohibitions. They forgot the means to seek the pleasure of Allah. This is what they forgot. Whether they truly forgot that or whether forgetting means here, neglecting that and turning away from that and not showing the proper care and concern. So thus the recompense is that they will forget their own souls, meaning they will forget the means for the safety and the sanctity and the savior of their own souls. And they will fall into lust and desires until they die in that manner. And this is the recompense for neglecting the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. نَسُوا اللَّهَ نَسُوا أَوَامِرَهُ نَسُوا أَوَامِرَهُ وَنَوَاهِيَهُ نَسُوا اللِّقَى بِهِ سُبْحَانُهُ. They forgot his commandments and prohibitions. They forgot they're going to meet him. And if they lived a life like that, even if they believe in Allah and know him, they lived a life in this manner, neglecting the commandments as if they're going to live forever and they're not going to be taken into account. As if there's no angels writing and taking record of everything he's saying and doing. As if the messengers that never came and the guidance was never revealed. Living a life of an animal, waliyadhu billah, seeking desires and following one's lusts. This is not the reason why we're created. We're created to strive against our souls, to seek the pleasure of our Creator. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who forget the commandments, neglect them and forget the meeting, and neglect that day and the accountability before Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah will recompense them justly according to their deeds. الْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْأَمَلِ فَنَسُوا فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. He'll cause them to forget their own souls. And he will cause them to forget that they're slaves, that they're created. He'll cause them to forget that there's a meeting and there's a promise. He will cause them to forget and neglect the fact that there's Jannah and there's Nar and that they have a soul that will be taken to account. They'll forget these affairs and they will neglect them. And thus they will lose وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, the greatest loss. The greatest loss. So Allah, He's warned us from all of these affairs. The people of the Quran, they take this very seriously. The people of the Qur'an, they take the warnings in the Qur'an very seriously. Very seriously. The warning of the fire, this is not a joke. This is not a joke. Allahu al-Musta'an. He says, Rahimahullah, ثُمَّ أَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ الْفَائِزُونَ. And then Allah declares that the people of the fire and the people of paradise are not equal, saying, not equal are the companions of the fire and the companions of paradise. The companions of paradise, they are the successful ones. They are the successful ones. We've seen that. In this life, likewise. And it's clear in the hereafter, they're not equal. But that's because in this life, likewise, barakallahu fikum, they're not equal. Each have distinguishing traits and characteristics that identify them. This person is from the people of Jannah. This person is from the people of the Nar. They have creed and belief. They have a methodology, a way. They have manners and conduct, they have statements and actions that they perform all the way till by the grace of Allah, they die in that manner, the people of Jannah. And as for the people of the fire, then they're contrary to that, they do the opposite. But they likewise have that creed or belief or deficiency in that, and they have manners and conduct, actions and statements that they perform all the way till they die in that manner, waliyadhu billah, and they're punished in the fire. They're punished in the fire. This is the reality. We're tried with this affair. This guidance, has come. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been sent. The Quran has been revealed. It's clear which way is right. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The paradise is true. The fire is true. The day of judgment is true. Allah, He is going to take us to account. We're going to meet Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The path that leads to His pleasure is by believing Him and following the commandments of the Quran and applying them in our lives and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions and taking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as our absolute role model and loving him more than we love our own souls. فَالْمُؤْمِنُ الْعَاقِلُ إِذَا تَلَى الْقُرْآنَ إِسْتَعْرَضُ الْقُرْآنَ فَكَانَ كَالْمِرْآةِ يَرَى بِهَا مَا حَسُنَ مِنْ فِعْلِهِ وَمَا قَبُحَ مِنْهُ فَمَا حَذَّرَهُ مَوْلَاهُ حَذِرَهُ وَمَا خَوَّفَهُ بِهِ مِنْ عِقَابِهِ خَافَ وَمَا رَغَّبَ فِيهِ مَوْلَاهُ رَغِبَ. The intelligent believer, al-mu'min al-aqil, whenever he recites the Quran, he examines himself through that recitation. Like looking into a mirror, he sees what is good in his deeds and what is bad. So he takes heed of what his Lord has warned him against, fears what he has cautioned him about, and desires and hopes for what his Lord has encouraged him towards. And desires and hopes for what his Lord has encouraged him towards. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هَذِهِ صِفَتُهُ أَوْ مَا قَارَبَ هَذِهِ الصِّفَةِ فَقَدْ تَلَاهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ وَرَعَاهُ حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهِ وَكَانَ لَهُ الْقُرْآنُ شَاهِدًا وَشَفِيعًا وَأَنِيسًا وَحِرْزًا. Whoever possesses these qualities, or even close to them, and he said he either possesses them precisely, or he's very close to them, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does he say? Saddidu waqaribu. Saddidu waqaribu. Hit the mark precisely, and if not, strive your best so that you will at least be close. You at least get close, right? But if you don't strive at all, what will happen? You're going to get close? Somebody, he makes his best effort to shoot the arrow with knowledge and experience. Inshallah, he will hit the mark, right? If he makes his best effort, but maybe he's not of that level, he's still going to get very close to the mark. Somebody doesn't even care, man, let me see this thing. Is he going to hit the mark? He's going to shoot him. He might shoot himself. That's what they say. Audhu billah, he's going to shoot his foot, shooting his own foot, right? Audhu billah. This is the example. So the person of the Quran, what does he do? The intelligent believer, when he recites the Quran, examines himself through it. Like looking into a mirror, he sees what is good in his deeds and what is bad. So he takes heed of what his Lord has warned him against, fears what he has cautioned him about, and desires and hopes what his Lord has encouraged him towards. قُلْ أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هَذِهِ صِفَتُهُ أَوْ مَا قَارَبَ هَذِهِ الصِّفَةِ فَقَدْ تَلَاهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ وَرَعَاهُ حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهِ وَكَانَ لَهُ الْقُرْآنُ شَاهِدًا وَشَفِيعًا وَأَنِيسًا وَحِرْزًا. Whoever possesses these qualities or even comes close to them has truly recited the Quran as it should be recited, preserved it as it should be preserved, and the Quran will be for him a witness, an intercessor, a companion, and a safeguard. وَمَنْ كَانَ هَذَا وَصْفَهُ نَفَعَ نَفْسَهُ وَنَفَعَ أَهْلَهُ وَعَادَ عَلَى وَالِدَيْهِ وَعَلَى وَالِدِهِ كُلُّ خَيْرٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Whoever has this description benefits himself and his family, and brings all goodness upon his parents and children in both this world and the hereafter. In both this world and the hereafter. And Sahari ibn Mu'adh al-Juhani an abihi anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, man qara al-Qur'an wa amila bima fihi ulbisa walidahu tajan yawm al-qiyamah daw'uhu ahsanu min daw'i ash-shams fi buyut ad-dunya law kanat fihi. فَمَا ظَنُّكُمْ بِالَّذِي عَمِلَ بِهَذَا. Sahr ibn Mu'adh al-Juhani from his father reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever recites the Qur'an and acts upon its teachings, his parents will be adorned with the crown on the Day of Judgment, the radiance of which is brighter than the light of the sun in the houses of this world, were it to exist therein. So what do you think about the one who himself acts upon it? هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.